Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the Old Boys Club. It is On the Mark. Old white men are in charge around here, Mark Lawrence and Mr. Joe McGranahan.
No, I'm sorry, I'm Native American. Just call me Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, you should resign.
I should.
Step down.
Yep, immediately.
Goodbye. Nice knowing you. What was your name again?
I'm not going to tell you. It's a Native American name.
All right. On the march.
They call me around the house Chief Flapping Gums.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, that's a pretty complimentary. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. That toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can start up a text message at 70236, including the message, the word WKOK, then a space, and your message. But the easiest way is just sign up for Text Connect at WKOK.com. Well, let's see. Who's left in Virginia? Everybody's still
not
working.
Not many people. Right.
Everybody's still working, though, right? Well, the governor's there, lieutenant governor, now the attorney general. Right,
this is beyond a pickle. This is actually up to dilemma status
right,
for them.
Right, it is a full-blown dilemma at this point. But
What's fascinating is that all the people who, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Senator Hirano from Hawaii, all these people came on and said, we must believe survivors. And they believed the college professor who said bad things about Brett Kavanaugh. I haven't heard them say a word yet about the charges brought by another college professor against the lieutenant governor of Virginia, calling for his resignation. Hmm. And then two people in blackface, the governor and the state attorney general, whether or not they should go. I mean, this is the stuff, this is karma, you know. What goes around comes around, and it turns out it's nipping at your posterior.
Okay.
What do I know about it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been bitten by something that you did? Most of us have at one point or another.
Right. Oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
But, you know, don't you think there's a certain amount of hypocrisy here that do we believe the survivors or do we not believe the survivors? Well, we believe them when there are Democrats talking about Republicans, but we don't believe them when there are Democrats talking about Democrats.
The survivors?
Yes. Well, you know, we believed everything that Dr. Ford said about Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, Dr.
People
Blasey
on the left
Ford.
Did.
Okay.
Yes. Believed every word out of her mouth. But who's believing?
Well, I think people vetted her, and she was vetted.
She seemed credible.
And so
does this lady for accusing the lieutenant governor of Virginia. She seems extremely credible. But I don't hear these same people saying, you know, he should step down immediately.
And the statute of limitations has expired on possible criminality?
I'm not sure it has on this one. I'm not sure.
2004, right?
2004, 14. Yeah, probably has. I think it's probably
10 years.
Probably 7 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Seven
10
seems
plus,
reasonable.
Okay. Well, okay, so you think everybody should resign? I don't think they should resign.
Well, Elizabeth
I think
Warren
done
should
a...
resign. I mean, we should get a whole pile of nice Democratic resignations here to go with the ones of the Republicans.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, you cannot just ever have everybody resign
because of their
mistakes they've made.
Completely agree with you.
Oh, you're just pointing out hypocrisy
from
those other individuals.
I didn't
believe
Brett Kavanaugh should have been held, you know.
Well, in that case, they should resign because I don't want to agree with you.
Okay,
so.
All right. Well, then you take
they
that side of the
step down immediately, and now's the chance to do so.
Well, it will not happen. I mean, here's where the Democrats are faced with a giant hypocrisy issue. in Virginia, if the three of those people, two of them go for blackface and one goes for allegedly molesting a woman, the fourth in line for governor is the Speaker of the House, who happens to be a conservative Republican. Now, let's see if the Democrats' desire for the Me Too movement and the, you know...
Are you sure their line of succession goes to the state attorney general? That's a weird turn. And then go back to the legislature?
No, it goes to the attorney general third, because I guess he's a statewide elected official. Usually, in most states, they try to stick, if they have more than one person, more than the governor and lieutenant governor elected statewide, they try to go to that person as third, because they've at least faced all the voters in the state. But in some cases, eventually, you wind up with the Speaker of the House, the President pro tem of the Senate. Sooner or later, you wind up with them. Happens to be in Virginia that fourth is the Speaker of the State House.
Okay. Conservative Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Republican in Virginia.
So you can imagine that the cries for Northam. I mean, you can't say Northam should resign and not say that the Attorney General should resign. And if you say the two of them should resign over blackface, how can you not say that the lieutenant governor should resign over a charge that's apparently fairly credible that he molested or forced into sex a woman?
What did the attorney general do?
He's the attorney general. He handles the state's legal work.
No, not what does he do. What did he do with blackface? He admitted that he did this?
Right. He says it's haunted him for years. You know, and I think the reason...
because he knew he'd get kicked out of office.
The reason he came out with it, he called for Northam's resignation when it came out, and then apparently someone reminded him about something from his own past where there apparently was proof that he did it, and suddenly his thing changed.
His conscience got the worst of him, so he came step forward before it became public,
and meanwhile, among other giant hypocrites on The View, Joy Behar has had a photo of herself surface dressed as a black woman, portraying beautiful black woman. Should she be thrown off the air immediately? ABC hasn't commented.
All right. Well, we can talk about this today. We also have in Pennsylvania a marijuana listening tour is going to start. So this has absolutely nothing to do with whether marijuana will ever become legal in Pennsylvania, because Jay Corman says to even have a conversation about legalizing marijuana, it's irresponsible to even talk about it. So that did not stop the governor from talking about it in his budget address, and it isn't going to stop John Fetterman, the lieutenant governor, from going on a listening tour, and it's not going to stop him from calling us. So we are going to talk to him today. So those are some of the things that we're...
Are we sure it's today? Said earlier it could be today or tomorrow.
Well, his staff, deputy chief of staff, says he's going to try to call today.
Okay.
So we're going to look forward to that.
Well,
so, yeah, John Fetterman. It'll be our
first
conversation.
If he's willing to listen,
we're
willing to talk.
It'll be a first conversation with him since he ran for office. So I'm glad to say that he's the lieutenant governor. Now, the last time we talked to him a couple of years ago, he was running for governor. So he was in the primary before Governor Wolf was elected. So we welcome folks to listen in on that. If you have questions, you have to email us. I think we're getting 5 or 10 minutes, so it's just a short amount of time. But it's an opportunity for us to talk to him about the listening tour, which, strangely enough, starts in Perry County. I think it's Monday or Tuesday next week. He'll be in Newport. So the first question is, why Newport first? But maybe that's as good a stepping off point as any.
Maybe there's a lot of marijuana users over there. You never know.
Well, I don't know. I would think it'd be kind of a conservative area. So,
I would think.
And most folks agree with Jake Corman that, you know, even you and I having this discussion right now is further proof that we're irresponsible. So,
all right. If you say so.
So we got that. All right. Well, since we do have a call that could be coming in shortly, why don't we get our first break out of the way? We have four open lines right now. We'll take all comers on any topic. You have West Virginia's.
Virginia.
Virginia is for hypocrites. It's going to be their new slogan that Joe's going to print out, and we'll take callers about anything else. Should we legalize marijuana? That's a perfectly good question that we're going to ask on this show, too. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I looked up the line of succession for the state of Pennsylvania.
Commonwealth.
Of course, or the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and it goes to Lieutenant Governor, but then the explanation stops, even though it's in this paragraph called line of succession. It's not really a line.
It's just
a person.
Well, typically you don't go down three or four deep. You know, you go down one.
Well,
one person
whoever.
Left.
Maybe years ago when people died younger for other things.
But you remember a few years ago when, I forget who it was, the lieutenant governor died, and you had Ed Randell as the governor, and as the lieutenant governor, moving up to that space, you had Mr. Scarnati, who was the president pro tem of the Senate.
Okay.
So apparently in Pennsylvania, it must be governor, lieutenant governor, president pro tem of the Senate.
Well, that would make
sense.
Or
else there was nobody in the state speaker's position at the time, and they wound up with him as lieutenant governor. But he was lieutenant governor for—
And who died?
Catherine Baker Knoll,
was
it? Okay.
Okay.
She passed away, and then the line of succession, for some reason, got him as the Senator Scarnati as the lieutenant governor.
Wow.
I remember I attended several meetings in his office down there when he was lieutenant governor.
Which hat was he wearing, so to speak?
Well, he never gave up his Senate office. He kept his Senate office, but we met in the lieutenant governor's office.
That would you give up control of the Senate so that you could do nothing in the governor's
mansion?
Well,
he knew he was going
mansion.
going back to that. I mean, this was just temporary. Okay. But it was ironic. The governor had given, Governor Rendell had given Catherine Baker Knoll responsibility for emergency preparedness, which is why we were involved with the lieutenant governor and the State Emergency Communications Committee. And then when she died, Scarnati took over her roles. And then the governor realized that he now had a Republican in charge of this, so he stopped it.
Did he ever have an argument with himself?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think the lieutenant governor should do this. Well, as president of the Senate, you should do this.
Yeah, right, one way or the other. But it was an interesting time in Harrisburg.
Joe Scarnati. He's been around a long time.
He has.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is going to be our open phone momentarily. We asked for and received a call from Mr. John Fetterman, and he's lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, former mayor of Braddock, and he is going to lead the listening tour. So, Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, thank you so much for calling in. This is Mark Lawrence.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on. Delighted to be here.
I do appreciate it. Well, as you launch onto this tour, I said I'd ask this first. Now I'm going to. Why Newport as the first stop, or one of the first stops?
Well, because every stop is equally important, and that's the message of this tour. We're going to, you know, I was a 67-county candidate. I'm a 67-county lieutenant governor. And when, you know, we're talking about an issue that is as significant and important as adult use cannabis, you know, we are going everywhere. So it's not a matter of, well, this place versus that place. It's every place.
Well, what do you expect to hear as the result of this?
Joe
McGranahan.
I'm really looking forward to it. And I tell people this. I say, what I think of it isn't interesting. What is interesting is what you all think of it, you know? Like, we want to hear from everybody, you know? Like, anyone, you know, can go on Google and find out what I think about it. But it's we want to find out what Pennsylvania thinks about it. And that's what this tour is all about. And there's no hidden agenda. There's no anything other than we want to collect the various views of Pennsylvania's residents. And if they can't make it to a meeting and they want to weigh in, we'll have those means available through a website. And people have been tweeting support or tweeting concerns or social media as well. So we really want to hear from everybody who has an opinion.
What will be the end result of this, Lieutenant Governor? A report?
Well, for starters, I also want to mention we are, I personally call and invite every state representative and state senator. You know, they represent these folks directly. So we want to have their input because we want to give them as well as the governor, I think, a really accurate stance on where people are at. And once everything's compiled, and I'm certainly going to present everything in its entirety, not only to the governor, but also to the people of Pennsylvania, too, where they'll be able to say, hey, this is what we did. This is what it looked like. And here it is.
Well, our local state representatives and state senators say they don't need to do any additional listening. They already know that legalized marijuana is a bad idea. In fact, Jake Corman, who represents the one district over and, of course, head of the Senate, says it is irresponsible for us to even have this conversation. Even talking about it is irresponsible, let alone ever voting it or actually doing it. So why go to all this trouble? I know what you're going to come up with. Most adults say that legalized marijuana is okay, but why go to this trouble when the constricture of the legislature says no way?
Well, because I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I have an enormous amount of respect and esteem for Senator Corman. We're colleagues in the Senate, or anyone's views, and anyone is entitled to their views. Their views are no more valid than mine or anyone. But we are going around to have this conversation in every county, and I think it's an important one to do.
What do you think will drive this? Moral issues, health issues, safety issues?
Well, I can only speak to what does it for me, so to speak. I can't speak to what, you know, any one person. What I can say with supreme confidence, anecdotally, is once we made the announcement, more than 90% of the feedback has been positive. And those that are maybe on the fence or opposed are very respectful. They're just like, yeah, well, what about this? Or have you thought about this? Or whatever. So, I suspect that people that feel very strongly or feel very against it, one way or the other, are going to come. And those that might be in the persuadable middle or might be in the, let me think about that. And that's what this tour is about as well, too.
Well, like your prior job, I'm a mayor of a community that is about to get a marijuana growing facility. How do you see, if it plays out, that marijuana becomes available to the public or for recreational use or however you want to characterize it, will they create an additional level of growing, or will the existing growers just expand their operations?
Mayor, we competed ferociously for a growing facility in our community. And the symbolism of a struggling industry, our steel mill in town, would have been across the street from a brand-new state-of-the-art grow facility. And to the rural counties, it's like, I love our rural counties. And I've heard firsthand, saw that there a lot of the farmers are struggling in a lot of these regions. And I think it's an enormous opportunity, that along with hemp, too. It's a different product. It's a whole different kind of situation. So I think it's really important to... potentially, as well as any new revenue generated off any kind of legality. These are revenue sources that could impact positively needs in more rural Pennsylvania. So that's what really this is all about. Governor Wolf and I are 67 county governors, lieutenant governors. And that's what his Restore PA plan that he announced is. This isn't anything other than how can he deliver the kind of resources that we believe Pennsylvania needs in the reddest red county or the bluest blue county that doesn't directly impact the bank accounts of our Pennsylvania citizens.
Are you starting to get a sense what some future legislation might look like? Have any House or Senate members or even the administration suggested?
No, because I'm fall down earnest when I say this is strictly a listening tour. I'm not going to show up with a set of pom poms and try to steer the conversation or have any kind of guided discovery. I want to hear from everybody, and I've had very positive and respectful interactions with various members of the legislature, both pro and con, and I thank them for their views regardless of where they are in position to my own, because we just want to have a conversation, and that's what this is about.
Are you going to hit all 67 counties on this listening tour?
Oh, absolutely. Without question, any hesitation, I would say there'd be much more limited value if we were just going to say, well, let's go to Philadelphia or let's go in Pittsburgh and maybe Harrisburg. No, this is a conversation this whole state should have, and that's my commitment to doing this. And this will be the third time in essentially a year that I will have gone to every one of Pennsylvania's 67 counties, because that's, again, was my commitment as a candidate, and it will always be my commitment as your lieutenant governor.
Is there more of the schedule congealed yet after Newport? When are you coming to Northumberland, Snyder, Union, Montour counties? The counties up here.
We're getting them all on the book, and we expect this tour to be concluded, and by concluded meaning all 67 counties by sometime mid-June.
All right, fantastic. Well, we'll give you an additional comment. We'll give you the last word on this topic. We'll see you when you visit locally. An additional remark, Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman.
Yeah, thank you. And again, encourage everybody wherever they are on the subject to weigh in. And we're coming soon to a county or a community near you.
All right. Well, when you get to Snyder County, we'd welcome you in Shamokin Dam.
Well, I was lucky enough to make it to Snyder County twice during the general cycle. It was great. So looking forward to getting back there again.
Okay, take care.
What's the name of the website where there's more information about this?
It's going to be going live shortly. I'll be announcing it on all both my personal social media sites and my official social media sites.
All right. Well, we'll like you on Facebook then and look for that. All right. Thank you so much, John. Appreciate the call in.
Okay.
Take care. Good luck.
Appreciate that. All right. We'll send a note down to him. His staff member, too, said that he may be interested in visiting the studios when the tour comes to these immediate areas.
We'd love to have him.
So, we'd love to interview him. He's pretty available already, but we're glad that he's coming up here. All right. So that's the medical. No, check that.
Is this a good idea, do you think?
Legalizing marijuana.
A listening tour. I mean, is this, what's it going to prove?
I don't know. I think you could almost do the same thing, you know, with a good old-fashioned hearing. I guess there's nothing wrong with it if that's what they want to do. But let me be very clear here. I already know what everybody thinks about this.
You do?
So, yes.
Well, how did you determine that?
Well, because...
Do you know what I think about it?
I know. You think it's worth trying. You're not really opposed to it. You certainly are intrigued.
I'm not medical marijuana. I wholeheartedly support, but I'm not certain that I have arrived at
right.
a
you
positive
view. You're in the open mind category for legalizing pot overall. I think a lot of people are in the idea. They just want to hear more about it. But a lot of people have their minds made up. You know, we run into local DAs and law enforcement. You remember we had Tony Rossini when he was the DA in Northumberland County. He said it is time to decriminalize marijuana necessarily. You know, as for legalization, he didn't really support that. Fred Keller said, you know, it'll be his cold, dead green button in Harrisburg that he'll push to legalize marijuana.
How
he would never do it.
Decriminalize something without making it illegal or legal?
Well, it's a felony now to be caught with, more than a couple ounces, and it would be made a misdemeanor. And some places, like in Philadelphia...
That would still be a crime.
Right. It is not... It's decriminalized, and it becomes a misdemeanorized...
Okay, so you're downgrading the penalties. You're not decriminalizing.
Well, yeah, you are. It's no longer a criminal offense. It's not a criminal offense to go through a stop sign. It's a traffic offense. It's a certain level of offense.
Still a crime.
Well, that's true. It isn't decriminalizing. It's defelonizing it. Would you like that better?
I like that better.
Okay, I'm sure you would. That makes perfect sense.
I've never
sense.
Been defelonized before.
All right, so we can chit-chat about this. We can do our own little listening tour. You know, we know a lot of folks around here aren't interested in that. We had a professor here the other day who is a professor of neurology, psychology at Bucknell University, but she's a neurological expert, particularly when it comes to addiction, says, you know, she's a little bit hesitant to legalize another drug that it does have a significant impact on your abilities when you're functioning or just living, certainly driving. So,
and we'll save Lance a phone call. Alcohol is worse, Lance.
Oh, yeah. We're going to stipulate. Alcohol is worse and the number of deaths are terrible. All right. We got that out of the way. All right. We are going to take a break here for the CBS News. And then when we come back, we will have open phones. We'll have some brief news headlines. We can talk a little bit more about the marijuana listening tour, the website with the Northumberland Snyder Union Montour Columbia site. Is going to be coming out soon, and we know that one meeting is set up for Newport next week, so Perry County gets to go first. Why is that? We thank John Fetterman, the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, for checking in today.
Maybe because it was named after Oliver Hazard Perry?
That's good trivia, but probably not why. Okay. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me. He's a conservative Republican, head of the CSVT Task Force, mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's in charge of global tsunami response for all of the United Nations that are...
No, I've given that up. I'm now into earthquake response.
What?
Right.
That's ridiculous. Nobody, there aren't enough earthquakes to keep you busy.
Our theme song is I Felt the Earth Move Under My Feet. Remember
okay.
That song?
Right. This committee has a theme song?
Well, you're making stuff up. I thought I'd join the fun.
Okay. Yeah, it's great fun. All right. We talked about legalizing marijuana. Everybody in this room, anyway, thinks it's time to have that conversation. The only person who says that it's irresponsible to even have the conversation is Mr. Jake Corman. So we definitely think that that's an important viewpoint to be heard from. Maybe we'll put a call into Jake, too, since, he wouldn't want to do that. He doesn't want to be irresponsible. So
he doesn't even want to have the conversation.
Right. Even that, I just love that sentence. Even discussing it is irresponsible. All right.
On the mark. I buy that, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Talking is better than not talking about something important, I think. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open, 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. I now officially implore you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. If you haven't done what I've done dozens of times, that's go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. You check in, you get to enjoy a cup of coffee, watch the Tubala, or you can read some of the current magazines that they have there.
Watch the what?
Tubala, the TV, the tube.
Oh, okay. I'm not certain what you're talking about.
That's the Latin name for TV.
Really?
Yep. And they invite you to just relax there for a short time. There's a glass there so you can watch them work on your car. If you say, I want you to be very careful with my car, they do that anyway, but you can watch them, and so you can make sure that they're doing that. Or you can do like I do. Go to the glass window and just watch the supervisor at work. He's in his own little cubicle office, and I just like to sit there and stare at those people in their work. And
I'm sure they appreciate it.
They
you.
Do. They, it's a little nerve-wracking for them. But anyway, at the Quick Lane, back to reality, they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. I do have to do news headlines, but we got a good caller waiting, and so we'll go to the phones. Of course, it's an excellent idea to legalize marijuana, in my opinion. Joe says he's willing to listen. What say you, Billy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, the most common thing I hear out talking to my constituents and various people around Union and Snyder County is, you know, if we're gonna legalize marijuana, then we've got to tax it. You know, they see that as kind of a huge revenue source, and similar to what we've done with alcohol and cigarettes. But I have kind of a little bit different perspective that I want to offer that maybe will make people rethink that position. You know, one of the reasons that heroin has gotten so popular during the opioid crisis is because it's actually cheaper in many respects now to buy heroin than it is to buy marijuana. And if you legalize marijuana but tax it in order to make it a revenue stream, you're going to exacerbate that problem. You're going to make the opioid crisis worse because you're going to send people to much more addictive drugs like heroin and away from marijuana from a purely financial sense. It's going to be easier and cheaper for them to get heroin.
Than pot? So you're saying the price of pot will go up if it's legal?
Yes, it'll go up because it'll be taxed. If it were made legal and not taxed, it would go down.
Yeah, but it's $600.
If it's simply made legal and made a source of, you know, like this, the other sin tax, they call them sin taxes, you know, alcohol, cigarettes, they tax these at much higher rates than our regular sales tax in order to discourage their use. But it has unintended consequences of sending people to other sources.
Well, what about things like, well, you said tax it, and I agree with you, they'll probably tax it. But should government be making money on what you call the sin taxes? Should we be in the business of supporting gambling and a recreational use of drugs that have some connotation of lack of safety behind them?
Absolutely not. I think we have to agree as a society on those things that are morally wrong, and we legislate properly against those things, and other things should be up to human choice and human responsibility, personal responsibility of what you put in your body, what effects it has, and ultimately what the end result and cost associated with that are. If we get back to a system of more personal responsibility, then I think ultimately we'll have a better society. So people will be having to face the consequences of their own actions.
So the cost of marijuana will increase if it's legalized. And I'm going to have to defer to your judgment on this. I don't know what marijuana costs now, and I don't know what it costs in Oregon, so that kills that thought. But hundreds of dollars for some reasonably small amount is true now and will be true then?
Well, I have no idea what marijuana costs. I'm going on the basis of studies I've read that say that because of various factors, including the border, that heroin is now cheaper than marijuana. I have no idea if that's actually accurate.
Okay.
It's just what I've read. But what I'm saying is if we legalize marijuana and tax it, which is what the common view on the street that I hear every day when you're talking about this subject, then I think that will increase the cost of marijuana because of the tax portion and will exacerbate the issue of people moving to heroin and other pills.
But there are many people, though, Billy, who don't believe that marijuana is a gateway drug. I mean, that argument has been kicked around.
No, he's not saying anything about that.
Well, he's saying it makes it easier for them to move on.
I don't believe it is.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
No, he's just doing the financial end, not the sort of addictive or behavioral end.
Well, what makes you think people will choose to move on? Just cost alone?
Rather than marijuana being gateway drug, my opinion is that various people have these weaknesses and inclinations and the lack of, you know, moral fortitude to say no to drugs, basically. And so they're going to go with that which is the easiest to get, that which is the cheapest, and that which gives them the most desired effect. And so, you know, people move back and forth between drugs based on those factors more so than climbing some sort of ladder from marijuana to heroin to cocaine to meth,
Got your answer on pricing. Across dispensaries tracked by WikiLeaf, I guess they're, I don't know whether they're pro or anti, I gather they're pro marijuana. In the United States, the price of an eighth of marijuana, I don't know what an eighth is.
Eighth ounce,
okay, is $40 compared to $27.9 in Canada, where it's 30% cheaper.
Okay.
So...
Well, in any event, I think...
Go to Canada and buy your marijuana.
I think what Billy says is probably true, that, you know, heroin's dirt cheap, you know, $10 for a high or a little bag or something like that, so...
But it is definitely addictive. Why would you choose an addictive drug over one that's not addictive?
Well, that's a good question. And it's like saying, well, the gasoline is too expensive for my car, so I bought an enormous truck because diesel's only $1.25 a gallon. You know, I understand what you're saying, and I think it's a real danger. You know, Billy, but you make a leap when you switch from marijuana to heroin. That is, financial is not the only thing that I think people are thinking of. But anyway, let me ask you this real quick. I think of you as nearly libertarian. Of course, I probably shouldn't say that too loud. As a Republican candidate for county commissioner, you'd probably like to be known as a true blue Republican. But
I'm a liberty-minded Republican. I've never ran for anything in the Libertarian Party, never even thought about it, never cavorted with libertarians.
Right, it's just me who thinks that, not you. All right, so anyway, why should we control what other people do, you know, in the privacy of their home? If they want to grow some pot and smoke it, why don't we just say, hey, that's all right. If that's what you want to do, why is that so regulated?
Well, I agree with you. I don't think, and I sort of alluded to this earlier, I don't think government should be in the business of controlling what people do put in their bodies. It should certainly be in the business of controlling, you know, what's done to and for and with children. But in terms of what people do to themselves, I think they should be, you know, allowed, and it should be legal for them to do that. Too often the government, though, says, you know, based, just like we talked about with gambling, alcohol, other things, the government wants their piece of that pie. They recognize that, hey, this is a vice that certain classes of people are drawn to, so we're gonna take advantage of that weakness or proclivity and get income from it. And that, I think that's just ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah, well said.
Fair enough.
Yeah, thank you so much. You're going to make a heck of a commissioner with those kind of attitudes. They need your leadership, so good luck. Thank you so much,
Appreciate
Billy.
It.
Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We are talking about marijuana. We'll finish this particular segment. We'll do news headlines after we come back from a break, but that's not really imminent at this precise moment. Bob, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I've had some personal experience in with a family member that smokes marijuana to excess. And the thing about marijuana is, you know, it can be, even if it's government regulated and it's taxed, it's still going to be available, you know, on the black market, cheaper, just like alcohol with prohibition. The problem with that is nobody knows what they put in there. There could be other things put in. They don't know the level of THC that's in there that makes it really hallucinogenic. The other thing I don't hear anybody talking about is the fact that, and it's scientifically proven, that when in the developing brain, which isn't completely developed until they're, you know, a man is in his maybe 20s, in his early 20s, 22, 23, whatever, and these young people, teenagers that smoke marijuana, can have a physical effect, chemical effect, that they believe may be permanent. They're not sure how long it will last, but it may be permanent effects on the functioning of the brain. by smoking marijuana over while the brain is growing.
So young people should be prohibited. That much is 100% clear. There's not much debate about that, right?
Well, I think that's true. But like I'm saying, is if they legalize, it's still going to be available cheaper, and whatever is available cheaper cannot be regulated. So they could put fentanyl in there. They could put whatever they want to put in there. And who's going to say how much THC is in there?
Well, how would you regulate that to begin with? I mean, what is the proper amount? I guess it's not just enough to say we're going to legalize marijuana. We have to decide what types of marijuana we're going to sell, what the properties of it will be, and how it will be dispensed.
Well, if they legalize it, yes. I don't think it should be legalized. I think it's foolish to even consider it. But if they did legalize it, they would have to be a certain amount they'd have to regulate. Exactly what's in that marijuana, how much THC is in
there. So there'd be a sort of lawless element to the marijuana market, just as there is now for cigarettes. You can buy untaxed cigarettes. Now, they're not a dime a dozen on the street corner or anything, but if you look around and, you know, you can find them. Same with booze.
Will we allow the sale of marijuana that has to be smoked, or would we require that legal marijuana be these oils and tinctures, but just have a little hallucinogenic, THC?
THC.
They should legalize... legalized medical marijuana, that would be highly regulated.
That's done. That already happened. It is highly regulated.
Well, it could be legalized in every state as far as medical marijuana goes, but otherwise, absolutely not. Because like I'm saying, there'll be a black market. If you buy it $10 for a certain amount in a pharmacy, you can buy that same amount for $2.
Okay.
From the guy down the street.
You
don't even know what you're getting.
There's not really any equivalency of that, and maybe they're not equivalent, but for example, for alcohol, you know, nobody's out there selling White Lightning or homemade wine in any sort of a broad commercial sense or on a black market. Well, I know enough to know that there is White Lightning out there, but it's not for sale. It's just individuals make it, and, you know, they have it. People make homemade wine, and they share it with their friends, I guess, and homemade beer, I guess, is... not really all.
Well, you're allowed to make a certain amount for your own consumption.
Right. So
the good analogy is alcohol. You know, during Prohibition, what happened? That's a good analogy because the same thing would happen with marijuana.
But that's what's happening with marijuana now. It's illegal, yeah. And people are selling it illegally.
I think you have the Prohibition backwards. You have the Prohibition backwards. It's prohibited now. It'll be free later. Just like alcohol was. Just like cigarettes. You know, there's no black market for untaxed cigarettes out there. I mean, some people have them, right? But you can't get them anywhere, anytime, like you can buy pot anywhere, anytime.
Where do you hang out, Mark?
Well, you can buy marijuana in any town around here, Joe. Sure, I'm sorry to say that you don't have the right peer group to know that. But the fact is, if you want pot, it can be had. Just reply to some of the emails that come in here and ask them if they have any reefer. All right, Bob, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. Okay, so we've had two concerns. Billy's got valid concerns about the fact that if you legalize drugs, marijuana, heroin may end up being cheaper. And since for some individuals it's a gateway drug, or for others just a funner alternative or whatever, there may be more heroin use. Our good listener says the black market will continue to thrive even if it's legalized, and that could be a dilemma. So these are the kind of things that are going to come up in the listening tour. A lot of these types of questions have been brought up in places where pot's legal, so we could find out from those states if some of these issues are still so prominent. All right, we are talking about legalizing marijuana. Thanks to Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman calling us earlier in the show. We can continue this conversation. We have one email that relates to the State of the Union, a way too lengthy email that we will read a portion of it on the air, but we'd be more than happy to do that. When we return, we have open phones and an open e-basket and an open text basket, so call us right now. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. That's 1-800-795-9565. If we legalize marijuana, what's the good outcome? What's the worst that'll happen? We heard the worst now from two individuals. Good, valid viewpoints. We'll take more comers on that topic. 1-800-795-9565.
Oh, the weather outside's been frightful. School cancellations are delightful. I wanna go play in the snow. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Why is it that only kids are excited when it snows? Mom gets all crazy about going to the store for bread, milk, and eggs, and Dad runs to the hardware store for more salt. One of the quickest stops we make is our hometown pharmacy. We call ahead for our prescriptions, pick them up, and head on home to build the biggest snow fort on the block.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Can anyone tell me, what's the big deal about bread, milk, and eggs? I mean, what's everybody gonna do? Sit inside and eat French toast while watching Snowmageddon hit?
Your hometown pharmacy. Making a difference every season, every day.
Alrighty, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got one caller waiting. Stand by, Paul. But we are going to do news headlines. But we're talking about legalizing marijuana. Two good listeners have said that's not a good idea. I say it's a fabulous idea, and the sooner the better. So let's get that done. What's your opinion? 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. In the news, a Northumberland County prison guard facing some criminal charges after in her locker, police found some suspicious materials. They're testing those. Also in her vehicle, when she found out they were searching her vehicle, she took off in that vehicle, almost ran over a warden. She's facing charges of recklessly endangering persons, disorderly conduct, obstructing justice, and tests are done on the substances to find out what charges, if any, would follow there. The DA, Tony Matalevich, says John Gemmick issued that arrest warrant for the woman who is Holly Olvaney of Sunbury. The State of the Union address comes after a poll by Bucknell University on the presidency of Donald Trump and its impact on the electorate and the nation. Our correspondent David Payne has that story.
The national poll was conducted by the Bucknell Institute for Public Policy. It shows 44% of Americans say the Trump presidency will make them less likely to vote for Republicans in the future. Bucknell Political Science Associate Professor Chris Ellis says it's even worse for younger voters.
Well, among people who call themselves political independents under 35, more than half say that Trump has made them less likely to vote for Republicans in the future, and less than 10% say he's made them more likely to vote for Republicans in the future. So that is a problem that Republicans are going to have to contend with going forward.
Ellis says those polled also say the Trump presidency will continue to have an effect on the Republican Party as a whole, even after Trump is no longer president. I'm David Payne, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In other news, President Donald Trump's State of the Union address was seen by 46.8 million viewers, an increase over his 2018 speech. The Nielsen Company said the speech, which was delayed by the government shutdown, topped last year's audience of 45.6 million. His first such address before Congress in 2017 was seen by 47 million, so this is his most popular speech ever. The Trump-friendly Fox News channel dominated the coverage with 11 million people watching the speech on that network. NBC was second with 7.1 million. Can you believe that's a big, big difference?
Fox most dominated the broadcast networks.
Right, overall. Well, as they typically do. CBS had 6.7 million. ABC had 5.9. MSNBC had 3.9 million sad sacks who were yelling at the TV the whole time. Nearly 4 million Fox viewers didn't stick around for Stacey Abrams.
You forgot to mention CNN's low, low numbers. They were dead last.
I don't have. Oh, they're in there. Oh, they're buried. That's just a four. It's the only four-word sentence in the whole paragraph. Yeah, CNN had 3.4 million. Thank you. Nearly 4 million Fox viewers didn't stick around for Stacey Abrams' Democratic response, but the network's audience was still larger than all others at that. How often can you carve off 4 million listeners and still be the most listened to?
Right. These are the people. You know, it's amazing how many people choose Fox to be brainwashed.
Well, you said they seem to have a good, decent panel. Well, that was the next morning. This is the night of, so.
Right.
Right. Okay, anyway. Let's see. Finally, police grabbed a tactical shield and were ready to fight themselves off from some young unarmed children. This was in Washington State. Members of the Duval Police Department posted a Facebook video Monday of officers responding to a report of suspicious characters in the park. Police saw a local group of hostiles armed with improvised projectiles made out of...
snow.
Fluffy snow, yes. Officers proclaimed they would show no mercy as they advanced behind their tactical shields. They're bulletproof. They were no match, though, for a group of youngsters who hurled snowballs from nearly every angle at the officers. They eventually retreated and left behind to feel the full barrage.
If I were to just choose to throw a snowball at a police officer, do you think they would...
well, I think if the kids are having a snowball fight and the police intervene, then it would be different.
Okay, we don't recommend you throw a snowball at a police officer.
No, that is not sound advice. Well, and snowballs really...
No, it is sound advice that
fluffy.
We recommend you don't do it.
Right, and it's unsound advice to start a snowball fight with a police officer.
Unless the police officer has agreed to participate.
Right, which is unlikely. All right, 1-800-795-9565. I just want to say that. It says these kids were unarmed, and, of course, the police converged on them. You hear a lot about unarmed victims of things these days.
Right.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Only one person cares deeply whether or not we legalize marijuana, and it is...
Paul.
Gentlemen, you remember CBS having a program called 60 Minutes?
Still does.
All right.
Don't have to use my memory too much on that one.
Okay. They had a show on there where Mike Wallace asked Al Capp what he thought about crime and what they could do in order to eliminate it. And Al Capp said, if you legalize everything, you do away with crime. And he gave the example that alcohol was outlawed, but since there were so many people that were breaking the law, you made it legal, so now it's no longer a crime. And now you say that marijuana is illegal, but now you're going to legalize it, so you're going to do away with crime. The next thing that you're going to have to make a law against is prostitution, and see what happens with that.
What is illegal?
It is illegal, right?
It's already illegal.
All right, but you're going to pass something that will make it legal.
Oh, legalize prostitution?
Yeah, there you go.
Where in the world is...
Mark's in favor of that.
Well, most freedom-loving people are, but in any event, where in the world is prostitution legal now?
Nevada.
Okay. Is it a thriving industry, or...?
In certain counties.
Is it
not
regulated?
Not every county. Yes, it's regulated.
So you have to get, like, a STD test if you're a prostitute?
I believe you have to have regular medical exams.
Okay.
That's right, and you have to have a certification to indicate that you're clean.
Okay, well, the sex worker industry is becoming increasingly a recognized entity and force, so maybe that's part of that.
In some countries, it is looked upon as a favorite occupation.
A favorite occupation?
Yeah, a means of support or work.
Okay. Probably by government leaders who say they'd like some free services in retaliation, as a thank you.
But slowly and surely, we're headed toward what is considered Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right. Okay. All right. We got you, Paul. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I've actually talked myself into the next opportunity for a break, so let's do that.
All right.
And when we come back, we'll talk about why Joe's wearing a brace on his wrist. He must have been lifting heavy objects or something.
And, no.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. Why not legalize marijuana? The listening tour coming to a town near you. 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. 9:38 in the morning. We are on the home stretch on the Mark Show. We need some callers. 1-800-795-9565. We started out the show talking about John Fetterman. The lieutenant governor is going to all 67 counties with the listening tour. He's going to have the precise schedule up soon, but Monday's meeting is in Newport, which is down south of here in Perry County. I don't know the precise location, but is that the county seat, Newport?
I believe it is.
Okay, so then you would have the opportunity you probably go to the courthouse or something like that for that tour. And
well, it's rural and it's Republican, so we'll be interested to hear what he comes out in there with.
Well, and I think he's going to hear a lot of things like we've heard so far today, just valid points. So if anybody has an opinion on that, feel free to call us. Yesterday we talked in great length about the State of the Union address and the president's remarks and some of the reaction. We've also talked a little bit today about Virginia. I don't know. There's no Democrats in Virginia who haven't appeared in blackface, apparently, in the past half a century. So,
except for the one man who is a black man, and he's apparently been raping people, according to the charge brought out.
Well, or at least sexual assault. I'm not sure rape.
No,
is,
it's rape.
It's a rape charge?
That's what she said.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I haven't followed up on it. So, if all right. Well,
that's
then,
in today's that's, story. It's sad. I mean, I
right.
You know, this is more recent. I mean, the charge against the lieutenant governor in Virginia is more recent.
Okay.
It's not like Brett Kavanaugh, where the alleged activity took place when he was in high school. This is something that happened as when he was an adult. According
he was
to
a single woman. Man as an adult in 2004, and that's he says it was consensual. She says it was assault.
Well, it says, to make matters more dismal, Vanessa Tyson, the woman who has accused Fairfax of sexual assault, released a compelling and lengthy statement describing in detail her 2004 encounter with Fairfax, forcing the Democrat to once again deny her allegations. All this built upon a now days-long controversy engulfing Northam's administration after the mild-mannered Democrat admitted and later denied that he was in a racist photo that appeared in his medical school yearbook. I saw one talking head say something I thought was interesting. What kind of school is this?
Right, that allows that. All right, we got one call coming in, and we got a text.
I wanted to say that there was apparently a story that came out today. The man who was in charge of the yearbook swears that Northam picked the pictures.
Oh, okay. All right. And we have a text. You start in the middle and go up,
okay.
Joe, and then down.
No legalization of weed until there's a set limit like alcohol and a way for roadside intoxication testing. Without that, how are you going to know who's wasted and at what level to be able to charge them for being over the limit? We don't need more accidents like the one that took the life of a Sunbury man in Bloomsburg last year. The driver that caused that accident was wasted.
Right, that driver was charged.
And we
recently.
Have a call coming in, right?
Yep. We're going to go right to the call.
No,
we lost that. All right, well, please call back. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
That's a good point. How do you measure the level of impairment with marijuana? And if you were stopped by the police for erratic driving and you had no alcohol content, the blood test they would give you would not show up with marijuana, right? It would just show that you did not have any alcohol in your system.
Well, you'd have to develop a different blood test for that if you saw that. I don't know. Would the horizontal gaze nystagmus test pick that up?
Can you be impaired for driving with
marijuana?
Our call's coming back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Yes,
so
yeah,
there's got to be a way then to test for it.
The DUI is a real thing for marijuana. Now, most people would say who get high say they've driven while high and it's not that big a deal. But people in the know about these kind of things would say there is a tiny level of impairment that goes with it, just as there is with a little alcohol. And there's a lot of impairment that goes with being significantly wasted, to use
our
texter's term.
Right. Well, right. Wasted is a pretty good description of it.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our tele. How do you know what it's like to be on marijuana?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I said wasted. The term wasted is a good description for somebody who is impaired.
Lieutenant Governor Fairfax is accused of committing his offense at the 04 Democratic National Convention. What kind of convention do the Dems run? Well, they run one where the men are allowed to stay, and the men and women are allowed to stay in a hotel. That's where it happened, not at the convention or on the convention floor, per se.
Well, apparently this is a classic case where, at least to some extent, she went with him willingly, and then apparently things got out of hand.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We have talked about Virginia, a little bit about the State of the Union, and we have talked about legalizing marijuana. Why is this a good or a bad idea, Rick?
Oh, I think it's a good idea to legalize it. I just have a question that I think we're progressing very nicely to having legalized pot in Pennsylvania. But when do we get the federal government involved? I just seen on the news this morning that a big load, a tractor trailer load of marijuana from the state of Washington that was going to Colorado got confiscated in Idaho. And if I start my pot plant, I don't want it confiscated every time I try to send a little out.
Right, right. Yeah, you can't send it through the U.S. mail. My daughter lives in Oregon, and she says, I'd love to send you some pot, Dad, but it's illegal everywhere else. So
when do we do that? Shouldn't that be going right along with what we're doing right now? So we know that when, you know, really, the federal, all these marijuana farms that we're building for medical, the federalities could come in and confiscate everything right now if they wanted to.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea if that. It's certainly not being talked about in Washington D.C. now that I know of. Do you, Joe?
Shouldn't we get a hold of wake up, Senator? What's his name now? He just got elected. Wake him up, get him out of bed, and
Senator Casey?
Start talking about it anyway.
Oh, Senator Casey?
What you're talking about?
Oh, Casey, Sleepy. Yeah, I mean,
Sleepy
get him
Casey.
Out of bed and say, "Hey, we want to legalize pot here in Pennsylvania, and we want some help."
You sound like President Trump, using little adjectives to describe politicians.
Yeah.
Well, he called him Sleepy. He said,
well, he is.
Oh,
he does
yes.
call him yeah. Sleepy.
If his
last name wasn't Casey, he would be looking for a job.
That's what the president said, yes.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
Now he's calling for unity, however, so we shouldn't probably repeat
right,
that.
Right, so wake up, Sleepy.
Yeah, he got it, too. You know, the Adam Schiff just said, you know, we're investigating anything we want to investigate. Go ahead. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
That only helps the Republicans.
Right. That's what that Trump
called. That Bucknell thing isn't even close.
Well, it's just
that
our correspondent
only. I don't believe there are any Trump voters in Bucknell.
Our correspondent
only
tells. They
might be a little bit biased.
Well, it's an unbiased survey, but they only tell you a certain sliver of it. Most of it is really the fact that there more people are adhering or are followers and supporters of President Trump. But for those people that don't, it's hurting, you know, some of those Republicans. So, I don't know.
Trumpers are going to be never Trumpers.
Yeah, or Trump. What's that?
They're Trump Republicans in name
right,
only.
Trump
That's no problem
Yeah, they'll
there.
Never change.
We got them covered.
All right, we got you, Rick. Thank you so much for calling in.
Are we going to get a hold of, Casey?
Well, we'll give Sleepy a call right away.
Because I don't really see much use of legalizing it. We are progressing now. This is the way progressives do stuff. We are progressing into legalized pot.
All right.
But I'd like to see a little bit work hand-in-hand with our senators to get it legal completely.
All right.
Because I don't want to invest a lot of money and just have the federales come and confiscate all my pot.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much,
Apparently,
Rick.
There is
that.
A test. Margaret says something here. It says, there is a roadside test for marijuana. The cop shows the driver a Twinkie, and if he drools, they're high.
Oh, dear. I might do that now. I'm getting a little peckish. All right, thank you for that. What's this other?
You're getting
email?
A little what?
Peckish? You've never heard that? It's a Monty Python phrase.
Sorry. I wasn't a Monty
It's in the
Python.
Cheese shop.
And what does it mean?
You're hungry.
Oh, you're hungry. Okay. Dick says the number of...
A little hungry.
You're hungry. Dick says the number of viewers that watch something other than the 11 million at Fox News, over 31 million, leads me to believe a large segment has made another choice.
All right. And Dave is in line to talk about marijuana, legalizing. Marijuana. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. The A&E Network has a show Friday and Saturday evenings for 3 hours where they're out with police forces all over the country live, and they show these policemen stopping and picking up drivers that are impaired with marijuana. And so if you want to see an example of what they do, why, you can watch A&E. From 9 to midnight, it's on.
Okay.
Called Live PD.
Right. Yeah, I don't think anybody... nobody's disputed on this show that a person under the influence of marijuana would have some impairment, and somebody who's, to use Stan's term, wasted, which is really high on marijuana, it's like being really drunk, probably shouldn't be driving. Stan says to all the folks who want pot legalized, if you want to practice your Second Amendment rights and use pot, you are prohibited from owning and using firearms. Who wants wasted individuals using their guns? I believe this is something both sides should agree on. All right. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for the call. Good point. All right. We'll take a quickie break, and when we come back, we'll take more comers on the pot question. 1-800-795-9565. Who wants wasted people on marijuana using their handguns? That's a good question. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Say that on the air.
What?
We were talking about the Michael Foods commercial. They're looking for good workers, and they'll earn family-sustaining wages if they go there.
I just asked you how many eggs a chicken can lay in a day, and you said one.
Yeah, one egg a day, and you don't need a rooster.
Must be a lot of chickens running around out there. And they're not even the ones we eat, you say.
No, they're in little cubicles at factory farms, cranking out those eggs.
A little house, right?
Right.
One a day.
All right. One of our listeners says if you're high on pot, you shouldn't use a gun. But the only law, I guess you're not supposed to use a gun if you're under the influence of any drugs or anything. But you can buy a gun if you are a lawful user of marijuana. In other words, the medical marijuana that you're using is legal in your state, or the recreational marijuana that you're using is illegal in your state.
Well, come on, Mark. Who's going to answer that question? Yes, I am an unlawful user of marijuana.
You would be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, people think that, you
I'd
know,
be surprised if anybody answered it in the affirmative.
Well, I think because some people think that it's a... that first of all, that nobody really looks at these, and that's and incidentally, we're looking at the federal firearms form that Dan sent us years ago, the OMB 1140-0020. Anyway, it asks before you buy a gun, not to use a gun, but just to buy one. It says, "Are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana, depressants, stimulants, narcotic drugs, or any other controlled substance?" So if you were a legal user of marijuana, you wouldn't have to check that off. But if you were super-duper high on marijuana, you probably shouldn't be using a gun. Well, definitely shouldn't be using a gun. Bob, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. I'm calling about the correctional officer that they're trying to find right now that escaped the prison yesterday, I think it was. She's the same correctional officer that tried to strangle an inmate a couple years ago. And that inmate that she tried to strangle was in there on drug charges. And I'm assuming that she was probably doing the same thing way back then. And the she was supposed to be fired when she was caught this last time, or charged with it, but everybody in the county left her get away with it, and she kept and remained her job. Which I'm sure she has a lot of stuff against people around here. So I'm assuming that people around here are going to have something come up from her, and I'll bet she'll get off of the charges because she's going to bring somebody else down.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
All right.
Did they catch her yet, or are they still looking for her? They're still looking. Okay.
Supposedly, the paper said she was supposed to turn herself in this morning.
That's what I read, yes.
But Channel 16 said she was on the run, so I don't really... I mean, she lives four houses away from me.
I wouldn't go by Channel 16. They're a couple of pages behind on this.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, she does the right thing and turn herself in because, you know, you can run, but you ain't going to hide. You're eventually going to get caught, and you're going to get worse charges, and if you're not killed or hurt somebody else. So they say she's not a threat to society or anything like that. But how can you prove that?
Well, that's a good question.
All right.
That's a good question.
That's just my opinion. I just thought that people should be on the lookout for her, and if they see her, call the police.
All right, we got
Fair
you.
Thank
you so much. Thanks for calling
have
in.
Have a good day. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
Want to tell you about the phone number he called to be on the radio. You can do the same
Please
thing.
Please do.
1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Nori Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, and last but not least, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They want to remind you that every single dollar that you spend at a local hometown pharmacy, every dollar spent there gets spent locally 10 times over. You can support a lot of people in your local community when you support the hometown pharmacies because they take that dollar and their staff gets to enjoy it for their salary and the owner gets to use it in his or her salary. Then they go out into the community and guess what? They're favoring local businesses. The pharmacy and those individuals are supporting local sports teams, charities, fundraisers, fire companies, you name it. And guess what also happens? This is the best part. You get fantastic service. So that's the wonderful part. Half of them deliver. Some of them got drug take-back boxes. Lewisburg Pharmacy's got milk. Taylor wants me to say that every time we do this. And so it is an opportunity.
Why? Why do you have to say that?
Well, I guess. And I know some of the other farms. I believe CVS has milk, Nori Pharmacy has milk, too, I believe. But do not go to a CVS or a Walmart or any other big box. Go to the hometown pharmacy. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Nori Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, or Lewisburg Pharmacy. We got an email. It's as long as can be, but now we have time. How do you want this configured?
Well, not like that. Okay.
So you're saying French isn't the way to... It's down here. It's right down here.
I'll take it this way. Was going to call yesterday and give my view of the State of the Union address, but got nauseated listening to the old boys club praising their leaders.
Capital letters.
Right, that's why
included.
I'm screaming. Their far-right rhetoric. Mr. Trump failed to mention that the national debt has risen $2 trillion since he took office, link provided. Mr. Trump failed to mention that his administration is involved in a lawsuit that would, among other things, deny pre-existing conditions, link provided. He has no plans to fix health care or cut prescription prices. Odd, seems to me he said that was one of his top priorities in the speech.
Right, but he has no plan
Okay. Well, apparently the Democrats don't either. Health care costs continue to skyrocket. Very fortunate that I get my health care from the VA at no cost. Stupidity and self-destruction go hand in hand. Knock yourselves out. He mentioned infrastructure briefly and forgot to tell you that we have no money for it. Tax cuts for the rich ended that. Will $1 trillion more be added to the national debt for infrastructure? 17 question marks. Stay tuned. I'm not sure if his Mexico paid for the wall is keeping immigrants in the country or to keep them out. The Trump crime syndicate is currently under investigation by the FBI and state AGs for hiring illegal immigrants, as well as countless other crimes. He was forced to fire many illegals from his golf courses and hotels. One man in particular worked for the Trump syndicate for 18 years, link provided. Maternity leave is yet another lie. We'll get that when we get the 10% tax cut for the middle class that was to happen right after the midterms. More women in Congress? 17 question marks? Yeah, there sure are. However, there are by a very large majority in the Democratic Party. The old boys club on the right hasn't changed a bit. 95% male, 98% white. There you go.
All right. Well,
telling it like it is.
Thank you for the emphasis.
Or like it isn't.
Appreciate that. And was this signed?
It's from...
No,
it's not signed.
Cool. There's another paragraph, too.
I know, but we're out of time.
We'll read that tomorrow.
Have a nice weekend.
You too, buddy. Yes, you got your retirement lengthened weekend ahead of you. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.